So if you've got a Bible to hand, there was one point this evening where we had Bibles on one side but not the other, but then we figured that that might lead us to sort of make assumptions of what where you sat, depending on whether you liked a Bible or not. So everyone should have a Bible. And if you want to turn to it, or you want to use an app or something, then our passage for this evening is Matthew 22, beginning at verse 1, which you can page on, find on page 990, and also on the screen behind me. So Matthew 22, beginning at verse 1, page 990 in the church Bibles, if you want to follow along. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for Charmaine and for us as we look into that passage. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bring this passage alive by your Spirit to us this evening. We pray that you would speak through Charmaine, and as you've spoken to her in her preparation, so may you speak to us and find in us receptive and fertile ground for your seeds of your truth to grow. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sorry, just give me a moment. Sort everything out. Right. Well, I have to say that when Dan gave me that passage, I almost reconsidered coming on my placement. But I love a good challenge. And I know Dan's just prayed, but can I pray again? Because it feels like this passage needs a lot of prayer. Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, who is your son, our savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's summer, which usually means that it's wedding season. I don't know how many weddings you've been to or how many you've still got to come. Holy Trinity seems to read a lot of bands, so there's often a lot of weddings going on in the area. I have only got one wedding to go to so far this year, and it's in October. But I think my record 1 year was 11 weddings in 1 year, four of those within 1 month. My Saturdays were busy. In fact, it was quite a funny July, because the first Saturday of the month, I was leading a singles day at the church, and every other Saturday I was at a wedding, not out of the singles day. Well, in our parable this evening, Jesus sets his story within the context of a wedding. And not just any old wedding, but the wedding of the son of the king. It is the wedding of all weddings, the wedding of the year. Last year, we had two royal weddings, not the son of the king, but the grandchildren of the queen. And they were probably the hottest wedding invites you could get hold of that year. So imagine for a moment, back to last year, imagine you receive a wedding invite to Harry and Meghan's wedding. What would your response have been? This is not just a British royal wedding, but it's a Hollywood royalty wedding as well. All the people we know and watch on TV are going to be there. A friend and I were watching it on TV, and I'm usually pretty useless at spotting celebrities, or at least I kind of think they look vaguely familiar and I have no idea who they are, and so I just walk on by. But for once, I actually could name who these celebrities were. It helped that I knew they were from the cast of Suits, but there were people I recognized, and so it was great fun to watch. The royal wedding of the year. But in the parable that Jesus is telling us, the invites have gone out, and the day of the wedding banquet arrives, and the king sends out his servants to call in those who have been invited. But instead of arriving with their shoes shined and their morning suits on and hats galore, they refuse to come. Can you imagine? It's the king's son's wedding, and the invited guests don't want to come. They turn down the king. They turn down the biggest wedding invite of the year. Well, as we see in the story, the king is far more gracious than I would have been, because he sends more servants out to go back to the people and to tell them, well, this is what you're going to get to eat. So if you thought, oh, wedding, not so fast. This is, I've killed the fattened calf and the oxen. The wine is flowing. Come to the feast. But again, the answer is no. In fact, it's worse than no. Some of them just ignore the servants. They go off to do other things. They go back to work rather than go to a feast. And some of them not only refuse, but they take hold of the servants. They mistreat them. They even kill them. Now, I've heard of the saying, shoot the messenger. But you don't usually shoot the messenger because they came with a party invite. These people chose work over a wedding. They chose to kill the servants of the king rather than go to the party. Now, this is not an easy story for us to read, is it? To our ears, it seems that there is overkill, and excuse the pun, but overkill on both sides. It is extreme to kill the messengers. And as we see as the story progresses, the king is so enraged that he goes and he burns down the city. And to our ears, that feels like overkill as well. But this is a parable. It's a story that Jesus is telling, and it's supposed to provoke a reaction within us. And our sympathy is to be with the king. The king who has shown so much grace and mercy, more than has been deserved by these people who have received these invites. He's issued 3 invitations, the initial invite and 2 follow-ups, and he has been rejected at every turn. Now, as we've seen over the past few weeks, Jesus is addressing these parables to the chief priests and the elders of his day, the religious elite. We've seen over the past weeks how these parables have spoken to them, illustrating what it means to truly follow God, and how while they think they are the spiritual elite, the ones who would expect to get into heaven, actually it will be the tax collectors and the prostitutes who go in before them. And in the verses we've been reading today, at the end of this chapter, we will see that they are plotting to arrest Jesus. And at the end of the next chapter, they are plotting how to trap him so that they can arrest him. The chief priests and the elders, they are living out this parable. They are rejecting the invite to the wedding. They've already received it. God has already given it to them many times. And now the Son himself is before them, and they are rejecting the invite to the wedding. Jesus is saying that having received the invite is not enough. Will they come to the banquet, or will they kill the king's messengers? Well, that was what it was for them. What is it for us? Maybe we've heard the invite many times, but maybe we've been too busy to respond. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has learnt the lesson that when you receive a wedding invitation, the best thing to do is to RSVP straight away and put the date in your diary, because otherwise suddenly you're either getting that embarrassing email from your friend saying, you haven't responded, are you coming? Or you're scrambling around trying to remember where you put the invite so you can find out what the RSVP date is. Maybe I'm the only one who does that. I've learned, put it in early. But maybe with God's invite, we've done that. We've received the invite. We've heard it many times, but we've put it off. We'll go, I'll get to that another day. Life is busy. And if we let it, the things of life, work, family, fun, will get in the way and distract us from RSVPing to that invite. So if you haven't already, can I encourage you today to hear the invite from the King and to RSVP, and not just to RSVP, but to prepare for the banquet. And the second half of the parable, I think, helps us to think about preparing for that banquet. Here we have a king who is now faced with a wedding banquet and fattened calves that have been killed. Everything is ready to go. And yet he has an empty wedding hall. No guests. And so he sends his servants out to the street corners. And he says, go and invite anyone that you can find. It's as if the queen sent out royal servants to Piccadilly Circus and Pall Mall and said, bring in whoever you can find and bring them to the wedding. And well, who would they find? They'd find ordinary people going about their day, probably some homeless people asking for money, business people going to their jobs, and in London, probably some tourists with their cameras out. None of them expecting the invite. None of them ready for a wedding or dressed for the occasion. And yet the invite is issued to the bad as well as to the good. There is no discrimination as this invite goes out. All are invited, whoever they are, wherever they are, whatever their circumstances. And so we read that they come. The wedding hall is filled with guests. The banquet is about to begin when the king notices one man. One man who is not dressed for a wedding. Now, there are dress codes for weddings. Often the invite will have a little dress code that tells you whether you're supposed to wear black tie or morning coats or whatever it is. And usually, even if there's not a dress code, we pull out our best outfit and put on our hats. We dress for the occasion. And if you remember Harry and Meghan's wedding, they dress pretty well for the occasion. But this guy, he's not dressed in the right dress code. Now, so many times I've read this parable and I've gone, but what's the big deal? He's turned up. You know, good on him. He turned up. The other guys didn't turn up, but this guy, so he's turned up in jeans. What's the big deal? But as I've been preparing for this, one of the things I found out was that it would have been customary in the time for the wedding host to offer wedding clothes. And particularly maybe in this circumstance where he's got people coming in who weren't expecting to come to a wedding. He would have prepared wedding clothes for them. And this one guy has said, I don't want to wear your wedding clothes. I'm coming as I am. Now again, it sounds harsh to our ears, doesn't it? He gets thrown out. He gets sent to where there's sort of gnashing and weeping. And it seems really harsh to us. But I think what Jesus is saying is, are we going to turn up to the wedding banquet on our terms or God's terms? We don't turn up at weddings without thought to our clothes. We want to honor the bride and groom by dressing appropriately in celebration of what's going on. So what wedding clothes does Jesus expect from us? Well, the New Testament has a lot to say about clothes. Paul speaks in Colossians about how we need to clothe ourselves. That as God's chosen people, we are to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That we are to bear with each other, forgive one another. And that most of all, we are to put on love. Very similar to his list in Galatians, where he talks of the fruit of the Spirit. So maybe the wedding clothes that we need to be wearing for the banquet are less about the nice skirt or a morning coat, but maybe about our attitudes and our character. And I don't know about you, but so often I catch myself when I'm talking about sort of doing these things, about bearing with another person, with forgiving, with having more patience or more love. It's all about me. I must do this. I must try harder. And what I'm forgetting is that God has given us his Holy Spirit, that his Holy Spirit is at work in our lives if we will but just let him, and that he will give us the power and the strength and the ability to do those things, to wear those clothes. He will produce that fruit in us. Are we those who accept the wedding invite and choose to clothe ourselves as God's chosen people, and or the way we want to, in our own efforts, in our own strength? Well, it's not only Paul who talks about wedding clothes, but in Revelation, John has a vision of the throne room of God, and those who are gathered before him, the multitude in front of him, are wearing white robes. And when he asks about the white robes, he is told that the robes they are wearing have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are white because of the blood of the Lamb. The robes of the guests of the king are white, but they are only white if they have been washed in the blood of Jesus. They can't be made white without him. The invite is free and is given to all, but we have to receive the gift from the king. We have to receive the wedding clothes that are washed in the blood of the Lamb, which are freely given to us. We have to be willing to put them on. We have to accept the gift of grace given to us by the king and the groom. So this evening, are we willing to receive the invite? Are we willing to rely on the Holy Spirit and trust in the work of the Son, whose wedding we look forward to, where one day we will feast in the new creation at the wedding banquet of the Lamb? Amen.
Let's just be still and quiet for a few moments as we think about what we've been hearing. What